One of the most amazing people in the New Testament is Timothy. You know, he spent time with the Apostle Paul, and he got to the point to where he understood everything concerning the Word of God in the same way that the Apostle Paul did. Because Paul told the Corinthians, he said, look, I can't be there, but I'm sending Timothy. He knows everything that I teach, and he's going to be able to teach you the same things, the same that I teach in every church where I go. That is incredible. And then in 2 Timothy, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, one of the things that Timothy would have taught is how to hear God, how to, what we would call, meditate in Scripture, how to pray in the Spirit and receive leadership and teaching from the Holy Spirit. Over the centuries, there are many who have followed in what you would say Timothy's footsteps. And because of that, lives are changed, and there are those who are called to what we might refer to as a pulpit ministry. They are continuing the teaching of these things that God established through the Apostle Paul. Here this week, we're going to have, I don't know how many different speakers, but every one of them that ministers here this week is pursuing God in the same way that Timothy pursued God once he heard from Paul how to pursue God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all at that level of Timothy or Paul, but what it means is we're headed that way. Amen. Now, that's not an egotistical thing. We should be able to say, I'm pressing toward the mark, like the Apostle Paul. I'm using these tools that God has outlined in Scripture, and I am pressing toward that mark. I appreciate the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the ones who are also pressing toward that mark and sowing into my life. However, I am not relying exclusively on them. I am relying on what I see in the Word of God and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is first and foremost in my life. So every person who ministers this week is somebody who is pressing toward that mark, every single one of them. If they weren't, I would not have them minister in this conference. Neither would the Lord. I mean, it's not like it's totally up to me, okay? You know, he and I have to work together on this. I ask him, he tells me, and then I pass it on. So we're going to have different folks throughout the week give brief exhortations at offering time, and then there'll be those who do the preaching. And you might wonder, well, why do we do the offering exhortations? Are you trying to get a whole lot more money out of us? Well, yeah. I mean, what? No. Come on. No. What it is, it's an opportunity for you to get a little bit more teaching. Even if it's only 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes more of solid teaching that is sown into your life. Well, tonight, a dear, precious friend is going to come and exhort for a few moments over the offering. This is Brother Gary Carpenter. So, Brother Gary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Tell you, we've already had church. Yes. Man, if you couldn't feel God during that worship service at the altar call, come and get saved tonight. Hallelujah. Right. Glory to God. That was good. Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because Jim said I only have an hour for the exhortation. At least that's what I heard. I don't know what you heard. He said an hour for the exhortation. No. Right. Praise the Lord. This is a special honor for me to always exhort over the offering, because I was one that got totally snagged, hooked, brought in by the false prosperity gospel that was so prevalent in the 80s. The man that led us to the Lord was not like that. He was very pure. And in the very beginning, when we first got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, mine and Sue's giving was very pure. We just had joy and opportunity to give. And it was always had the other person on our mind. Or we wanted to bless the servant of God who was ministering the word to us. So it started off very pure. But I made the mistake of listening to the TV preachers. I'm just telling the truth. little by little by little by little, they turned the focus of my giving, where my giving was no more about you or the person in need or even really about the Lord. My giving, it was all about my return. It was all about my blessing. It was, how do I prosper? How do I get more? And thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson.
Amen.
Thank God. One of the earliest messages I ever heard was when him teach was talking about Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. And the word comfortless there is orphanos in the Greek, O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. That's exactly the way I felt, especially in the arena of finances. I come to the end of myself. All I knew was I was wrong. But all of these all of these preachers that's supposed to know what they're talking about, all I was a big ball of confusion. I did not know what was right anymore. And Dave said, if you'll put your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost. Now see, I had heard that expression before, but nobody before ever told me how.
Amen.
Pastor Dave says, well, you know, here's how you do that. You yield yourself over to allow the Holy Spirit to begin praying through you those mysteries. I love how Dave said it. He says, he'd quote 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. No man understands him, how be it, or this is how it be. In the Spirit, he speak in mysteries. And Dave would say, now, let's think for a minute. We know you're talking to God when you're praying in tongues. Okay, yes, yes, Pastor Dave, yes. And we know mysteries are being explained when you're praying in tongues. Yes, we see that. He says, now, how many of you think while you're praying in tongues, you are explaining mysteries to God? Now, he understood everything several millennia, you know, before you were born, right? No. He is explaining mysteries to you. So, little orphan, how do you put your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost, where he starts straightening out all of your confusion? Little, in every area of life, he will begin explaining to you. Only one thing does he have, and that is truth. And if you put your hand in his hand, he'll guide you into all truth. Well, and the reason I asked you to open to 2 Corinthians 8:13, one area where I sure needed to know the truth, where I was so confused, was in the arena of kingdom finances. This scripture that he gave me all those years ago, I still remember the day, but I only have an hour, so. I still remember the day when this verse came to me, and the Holy Spirit just told me plainly, this verse is the foundation for all New Testament prosperity. This is it. If you've got this, if you'll build everything you know from here on this foundation, you'll be okay. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And I'd heard that verse, but it didn't mean a whole lot to me in those days, but I continued to pray in tongues, just like Pastor Dave said. And to make a long story short, let me simplify it. The Holy Spirit, he began substituting different words in there. He said, would you understand it this way? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was righteous, yet for your sake, he became sin, that you, through his offering, could be saved. I understand that. I understand. Don't you understand that? I said, oh, okay, perfect. I got that. Holy Spirit, as I continued to pray, he brought this one. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was health itself, yet he bore your sicknesses, carried your pains, so that you, through his stripes, could be healed. Oh, I got that. That's my foundation. Isn't that right? It's not anything I did. It's what he did, right? It's not through any good works of mine. Then the understanding began to come. Oh, wait a minute. In the same way, you need to know, Gary, the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. that though he was rich. Now, where was he rich? On earth? No, he was rich in heaven. He didn't have to come here and do what he did. Though he was rich, see, it still touches me. Gary, for you. For you. He had you on his mind. He was rich. He didn't have to come do what he did. Remember when in all of our, you know, the artists, because they want to be respectful, I think, when they paint those paintings of Jesus on the cross, none of us were there, but when they paint those paintings, they always have a little loincloth out of respect for Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, the crucifixion was meant for not only death, but ultimate humiliation. When it says he became poor, they even took his garments, stripped him of every earthly possession, and there he is. There he is, stripped of everything. And he did it for you. Why? That I, through his poverty, not my giving, through his poverty, not my works, look at it, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Well, that was the beginning of my understanding. And it's changed everything. It will. If you really get that, you'll be delivered from ever, forever from TV ministers who tell you that your giving determines your prosperity. That is just not true. Your giving might be a reflection of the transformation. I'll just go ahead and fast forward now because my hour's almost up. I believe I really am one of the freest men on earth when it comes to giving. I have no fear at all. He has to just whisper. If anything, he has to rein me in now. My wife is worse in a good way than I am. My wife, she'll give away the farm. I mean, she'll, the cows, the milk, and everything else. I mean, you know what I mean? We're so free to trust him. I've come to the place now, and this takes time, but I've come to the place now. Still, there's times when you face trials in life where, if you know, in the natural, you might have opportunity to worry about money. But see, I've been through it so many times now. I go, so we ought to stay up and worry a little bit. You know what I mean? Really, we should be worried about this. And even my natural soul, I promise you, has come to the point. It'll talk back to me and say, he's already delivered us 10,000 times. He's going to deliver us this time too. Let's just go ahead and get some sleep. And you just become free. You just become free. Hallelujah. Now, really, this passage in 2 Corinthians is not talking about an offering in a church service like we're doing. It was talking about giving to those that are in trouble. But the principle is eternal. The principle is the same. He is your provider. He is your provider. A real father's heart provides for his family. And our Father longs to provide for you. So when you give tonight, well, we can just come over in the same chapter just a little more. Come over, well, the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 7. This is the only way I know really to give with a New Testament understanding. Let every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Any of them that tell you have to give in order to be blessed, that's telling you it's necessary, it's a necessity. It's not true. God does love a cheerful giver. You'll become a cheerful giver if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to take you by the hand and teach you about your Father. And once you really see the provider he is, you'll become a cheerful giver in every situation. Amen. All right, so let's just do this. Let's purpose in our heart. Now, the only way I know is I listen. Sometimes the Lord does have an amount. I'm also his steward. So are you. You're a steward. If he has an amount he wants me to give, I'm eager to do that. But if I don't hear him with an amount, then it says, let every man purpose in his own heart? So do that. Say, Lord, I'm listening. If you have an amount you want me to give, I'm ready. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll give away the farm and the milk and the cows. whatever it is. But if I don't hear you, Lord, I'm going to give anyway. But I'm going to give cheerfully from my heart.